the desert, and especially the Judean desert, isn't a fun place. It's a wilderness, parched ground and sharp rocks and shifting sand and a burning sun and the mirages of an oasis that's always just another little way further and further. You never reach it. That's the wilderness of the desert, but there's also the wilderness of the soul. And it's just as hard, filled with parched promises, sharp words, shifting commitments, burning anger, and mirages of hope that's always just out of our reach. That's the wilderness of the soul. Now, not many of us have experienced the first, that wilderness of the desert. But I think if I'm correct, most of us, if not all of us, have experienced the latter. But Jesus experienced both of these. I'm going to take you to one of those moments and I'm going to read with you from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan. This is just after he had been baptized, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Let's just set this up for a moment. Chapter 3, just before this, ends with Jesus being baptized. And as he came out from the water, verse 22, comes the voice from heaven that says, "You are my son that I love, and I am pleased with you." And right after that is where we pick up the story. There's only a genealogy between this and that last verse. Right after this, Jesus is taken into the desert. Now, the desert isn't a place where there's life. The desert isn't a place of joy. The desert isn't a place of living life. So in a sense, when we read Jesus goes into the wilderness, he's leaving behind not just every comfort, but everything that he could build on. Everything that was there that would take care of him. And there he would encounter the devil face to face. Here's the thing. Can I just say this right here at the beginning? We don't all have to go to Israel and the Judean desert to experience the wilderness. The cemetery is fine. A hospital will do. The pain of grief and loss, suffering, doubt, depression. They'll take you to the wilderness. And the wilderness is a hard and a difficult place. Those of us who have been there know that. And Jesus goes into that wilderness for 40 days. Now remember, in the Bible, the number 40 is always a symbolic number that speaks of a long time. And usually a time of difficulty and struggle, 40 days, 40 nights in an ark, 40 years wandering the desert. But I want you to notice this. We often read right past that. when Jesus went into this wilderness, he wasn't just tempted for one day. Can I read a little bit of verse 1 and 2 with you again? He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and listen carefully, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. It wasn't just a question of three questions and done with. For 40 days, he was tempted. And that's a hard place to be, in that wilderness. It can feel like an awful long time. Like someone said, Jesus wasn't just there for a day, but Jesus was fighting with the devil for a month and 10 days. And that can sometimes feel like a lifetime. Doctor's appointment after doctor's appointment. Resume after resume. Diaper after diaper. Heartache after heartache. And Jesus was there for that whole time, tempted by Satan all the time. But I want you to notice something else. Jesus didn't end up in the wilderness by some mistake or because he kind of didn't read the GPS right and he got lost somewhere. Jesus went into the desert because this was the plan from the start. Go. Matthew says it even a little better in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. He says, then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. This was the plan from the get-go, that Jesus would go and be tempted. And the question that comes in is like, why? Why would he have to do that? Can I take you back into history for a second? Right there in the beginning, there was this man called Adam, or the first Adam, that represents all of us. And this Adam came face to face with this devil thing and this temptation, and he messed it up completely. He failed and fell into this. And with him falling, we all fell into sin and to death and to hurt and to brokenness, all because of this first Adam. But in Jesus, says the New Testament, there comes the second Adam. And the second Adam gets into this boxing ring and he says to the devil, enough now, for so long you have taunted and hurt and pestered my children. Get into the ring with me and let's do this. And of course, Satan is all too happy to do this. And he jumps into that ring and they go toe to toe for 40 days. And in that time, Jesus was tempted, but he never gave in. He was struck, but he was never struck down. And where Adam failed, Jesus prevailed. And Paul writes about that in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 18. And I'm going to read the message because it says it so beautifully. Here it is in a nutshell. Just as one person, read Adam, did it wrong and got us in all this trouble with sin and death. Another person, and read Jesus, did it right and got us out of it. Do you get that, my friends? The first Adam failed and the second Adam came and he prevailed against us. Will you please believe this? Will you please make this a part of your life? Because if you don't, in the wilderness, the devil will come at you with a 1-2 punch. And he'll get at you with that left jab with the struggles. And he'll hit you with that right hook that will put you in that place where you feel sorry because you couldn't prevail. But can I say something? Why do you think Jesus prevailed? It's because he trusted God's word and God's work, and he listened to God's voice. Will you please trust God's work and God's word and listen to one voice and one voice only? Don't listen to the emotions. Don't listen to those dark thoughts. Don't listen to those thoughts that are pulling you down. He wants to do that with that jab and with that right hook and take you out. Listen to the one that is in your corner, that is coaching you. Listen to the voice of God. Because that's what Jesus did. And look what happened. Look what he could do. Let me take you back to the text. So Satan says to Jesus, "So Jesus, if you are the Son of God," verse 3, verse 9, "if you are the Son of God," just planting that seed of doubt, because remember what was the last word that Jesus heard? Chapter 3, 22, "You are my Son that I love, and I am so proud of you." If you are the Son of God, prove it, Jesus. Come on, prove it. Come on, you've been here for a while now. You must be hungry. Look at those stones. Why don't you tell those stones to become bread? Come on. If you're the Son of God. Or I'll tell you what. Do you want all the kingdoms? Let me show you. Look at all these kingdoms. Don't you think that looks pretty cool? Don't you want them all? All you have to do is worship me. Well, if you really are God's only Son, with whom he's so pleased, I'm sure he'll take care of you. You'd stand here on the temple, jump off. I'm sure that God will send his angels to take care of you. He won't let you get hurt. Can you see what Satan is doing? He hasn't changed the way that he works from the beginning. He doesn't denounce God. He just plants that seed of doubt. But Jesus doesn't take the bait. Three temptations, three declarations. It is written, verse 4, it is written, verse 8, it is written, verse 12. It is written. Where does he go when this temptation comes? What does he do? He doesn't listen to those voices. He goes back to the book. And he takes the book. And he follows the book when Satan comes at him. Now, if the book was good enough for Jesus, don't you think the book is good enough for me and you when we're in that wilderness and the temptation comes? Because let me explain it to you this way, really practical way. So, we went to one of the mazes here at Strom's farm, where they make this wonderful maze in the cornfields. And they have a humongous maze. They give you a map to get through this. So we went there as a family. So my daughter and my wife, they went ahead of us. I forgot to take a map. I'm there with my little 2.5-year-old little grandson. And we're just having fun because he wants to pick up all the corn on the floor and he wants to pick up all this kinds of other stuff. And before we know it, we're so lost, it's not even funny. And I'm thinking, how are we getting out of this maze? Because if you've been there, it's higher than I am. So you can't just peek over. You can't see it. Good thing it's right there at the end. They have this bridge where you can stand and look out over this whole corn maze, and you can see the people. And as I'm struggling looking around, I see my daughter standing on this bridge, and she's waving at us. And I'm saying, we're lost. And she says, okay, I'll get you out there. Here's the thing. I could decide one of a few things. I could decide, listen, we're going to try and get out here ourselves, and we would have been lost for the whole day. I could have tried to have asked some other people, and maybe they could have helped us, and maybe they could have led us astray. Or I could trust her, because her vantage point was way higher than mine. She could see the whole maze, and she could see exactly how to get us out. What did I do? I trusted her. And I followed her, and I followed her voice, and we got out of the maze. Don't you think that's true of God? When we're in that wilderness, and we are lost, don't you think he has a better vantage point? Don't you think that he can see the way out? Don't you think that he can see to the other side of the maze? Isn't that where we must trust? Trust in the Word. Trust in the work of the one that can see, the one that knows me, and not listen to those other voices. Because here's the thing. Jesus was in that wilderness for 40 days. But it passed. And it will pass for us too. Because listen what Matthew says. It says it better than Luke again. Matthew 4:11. After the 40 days, then the devil went away. And the angels came and they took care of Jesus. The wilderness will pass. Trust in His word. Word that says, I will be with you through the fire, through the water, through the wilderness. Trust in His work, that He will send one to walk with you. And did He ever send one to walk with us? So take the book. Amen. Pray with me. Thank you, Father God, that when we are in that wilderness, and sometimes it's really wild in there, you don't leave us alone. Thank you that when we are in that wilderness, we can always stand on you and on your word. And thank you that we always come to the end of the wilderness. And there is one with us. As we walk into a new year, thank you that we can walk with your word. Thank you that we can walk with your spirit. Thank you that we can walk with you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you will take care of us no matter what comes. We glorify your name as we pray in Jesus Christ. Amen.